Good evening, Chairperson.
Good evening, Chairperson.
Good evening, Chairperson. Good evening.
Good evening.
Evening, Chairperson.
So very welcome, honorable members. It is now just after 6 o'clock, so we're going to start our meeting. I also want to welcome the minister, the deputy minister and the team, also our staff from Parliament under the leadership of Ms. Ndamba and all other people who are present in this meeting. This is a special meeting that has been convened for the Portfolio Committee of Health after the release of the report of the SIU on the investigation of the National Department of Health on the national on the digital rights contracts. It comes at a time when Parliament is in recess, as we are all working towards the work on the elections. When it after it was promulgated by the minister as being on the 1st of November of 2021. I would just want to tell you that this meeting is being streamed live on the parliamentary channel. And before we continue, I want to ask for attendance confirmation of the members or on any apologies from Ms. Majalamba.
Good afternoon and thank you, Chair. Present is Dr. Jacobs, Mr. Munyai, Ms. Geller, Mr. Sokacha, Mr. Siwela, Ms. Kwakube, Ms. Ishmael, Dr. Tembe Kwayo, Mr. Van Staden, and Mr. Imam Sheikh. I've received an apology from Ms. Shirwa. She is going to join the meeting later. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Majalamba. I'm also now going to ask for attendance confirmation by the PLO, Jel Khatla, on the Minister's attendance and the department. Anyone to, or Dr. Dlomo, if you can please, is our PLO present in the meeting?
Good afternoon, good evening, sir. We just check our pillow where he is, but present in this meeting is the minister leading us, Dr. Pasha. We have our acting DG, Dr. Nicholas Chris. We have other senior officials in the department joining us, Ms. Annelise Wakele, who's an acting DDG, and another chief director, Ms. Pagiso, Ms. Pakiso. I haven't been able to see all others, but the minister is also part of the meeting. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, and welcome to the minister again and to the entire team. Now, before we proceed, I just want to, honorable members, as is the norm, read the rules of the meeting. And we must be reminded that this is a virtual meeting, yet it is deemed to be in the precinct of Parliament and therefore constitutes a meeting of the Committee of the National Assembly for official purposes only. In addition to the rules of virtual sittings, the rules of the National Assembly, including the rules of debate, apply. Members enjoy the same powers and privileges that apply in a sitting of the National Assembly. Members should equally note that anything said in the virtual platform is deemed to have been said to the House and may be ruled upon. All members who have logged in shall be considered to be present and are requested to mute their microphones and only unmute when recognized to speak. This is because the microphones are very sensitive and will pick up noise which might disturb the attention of other members. When recognized to speak, please unmute your microphone and connect your video. Members may make use of the icons on the bar at the bottom of the screens, which has an option that allows a member to put his or her hand up to raise points of order. The secretariat will assist in alerting the chairperson to members requesting to speak. When using the virtual system, members are urged to refrain or desist from unnecessary points of order or interjection. We shall now proceed with the business of the day. I just want to also mention that this being a very special meeting, we have requested permission for this meeting and has been given by the House Chairperson, and we will now proceed. Ms. Majalamba, can you please slide the agenda?
Richard?
Yes, who are you speaking now?
Chairperson, good afternoon. My apologies. This is Joe Khadlau speaking, the PLO. Minister is still struggling to connect, but he will soon be on the platform as soon as he is able to connect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, the PLO, Joe Khadlau. We are looking forward to the minister being able to sort out his network challenge. But we will proceed so long if Ms. Majalamba has already flighted the attendance register, the agenda. I just want to make certain that we have this agenda adopted before we go forward. Are there any members who want to move for the adoption of this agenda?
Sheikh Imam.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh Imam.
I like it. Let's call.
Anabella seconding the adoption of the agenda as it is. Thank you very much to both of you for that. Now, before there is only one item on that agenda, Ms. Majalamba, if we can just go back to it. And that is the briefing by the Ministry and the Department of Health on the department's plan on the findings and the recommendations of the SIU report on digital bites. I will now hand over to the Deputy Minister or the Deputy Minister if the Minister has not yet been able to resolve the connectivity challenge, to introduce the team and then to take us then to the presentation, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've just missed out that we have other officials who have joined us at the senior level, Dr. Perikrishna Sami and Dr. Akwena Tulare. Yes, the minister is traveling in a bad patch, but we have since talked that let me then introduce our presentation that has been prepared. The minister is aware of, and he promises me that while maybe Dr. Crispo is going to lead our presentation, is finishing off, he would have managed to log in. He has just got about 5-10 minutes to get into a patch where he could be able to log in. We are here, Honorable Chair, to present a report to you, an update on a report that has just been released to us and to the country 2 days ago, the report by the SIU on the digital vibes. That report we have since taken a responsibility to look into what would be the responsibility of a Department of Health in that report. And we are here to update the portfolio committee. It is not by means complete what we are going to be presenting, but we would want us to take you through what where we come from with this digital vibes, and what have we done in the past 2 days as a department to the portfolio committee. If you do then allow, Chairperson, may I invite our acting DG, Dr. Nicholas Crisp, to then do the presentation to the portfolio committee. Maybe by the time he finishes, yes, Minister will be available and ready to assist with the clarity seeking questions, and then we will be ready to assist and support them. Thank you. With your permission, Chair, may I invite Dr. Crisp to present.
Good evening, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, Members of Parliament, colleagues and members of the media. I'm going to share my screen so that I can take you through a number of slides, because it's always easier just to do that. So Thank you very much, Chair. So we're not going to attempt to rehash the 114 pages of the report because those are already visible. What we'd rather do is we would like to highlight the sequence of events to put in perspective the time frame of where we came from and where we are at the moment. We would like to just raise explain what was raised by the Auditor General, which started the flagging this particular procurement, and then focus mostly on the steps that we have taken as of today, especially between yesterday and today, but also some other steps that have been taken. So the sequence of events started in May 2019, and because the National Health Insurance Bill was in Parliament and there was a need to start to develop communication with the public generally and with a number of other stakeholders, some discussions were taking place in the Department of Health. And by the 3rd of July 2019, the need for a communication strategy to support the development of the National Health Insurance and to communicate what was happening around the National Health Insurance had been emphasized and elevated in the National Department of Health. That culminated with the formulation of a document, which on the 12th of July, 2019, was shared with Treasury with a request to deviate from the normal bidding process to appoint a company called Digital Vibes. Now, there's some discussion that took place with Treasury, and the department was recommended to advertise and to use a shorter tender period, but to go out on a tender for 14 days to secure the services of a company. In the ensuing period after the 12th of July, the department, in engaging with Treasury, got a list of 10 companies from the procurement system that is available in government, and they shortlisted those 10 companies and came out with an invitation to bid to those 10 companies. Not all of the 10 companies had communication strategies as their core business, and only two companies actually bid in the end. The one was Digital Vibes, and the other a company called Brandwell, and those two companies responded. There was an adjudication process, and we'll talk to that in a moment, on the 15th of November 2019, the company Digital Vibes was appointed to manage this tender. Just also of relevance, because that tender was awarded for the communication strategy of National Health Insurance, once the COVID-19 pandemic hit and there was a disruption to services, on the 6th of March 2020, the company was instructed to shift their communication strategy from National Health Insurance and take it into communication related to COVID-19. Now, some other important events is that later in the year, on the 2nd of October, because the Auditor General has been very much part of an ongoing process of auditing during the COVID period, the Auditor General highlighted that they had picked up the possibility that Digital Vibes was overcharging for the services that they were presenting. That highlight led to the appointment in early February 2021 of Ngubane Tax Assurance Advisory to investigate the appointment of Digital Vibes and whether there was value for money and whether there was perhaps a possibility of overcharging. Not long after that, during the month of February, on the 25th, the SIU was appointed based on a different chain of events that came through the whistleblower to the presidency, was appointed to commence an investigation into the Digital Vibes contract. That then led on the 1st of March to the Digital Vibes contract being suspended. The Ngubane report was still being investigated, and by the 25th of May, that report, which was commissioned by the Department of Health, was then the final report was released to the department. And 2 days later, on the 26th of May, a letter of demand was sent to Digital Vibes for repayment of funds that were due to the Department of Health based on that initial Auditor General highlighting of the potential overcharging, it was now established that the department, through the Ngubane report, felt that there was overcharging and there was a letter of demand for repayment of funds. On the 29th of May, notices were issued of intention to suspend a number of officials that had been identified in the Ngubane report. But because by then the parallel process of the SIU had been underway from February, there was an agreement with the SIU to halt that disciplinary process and wait for the outcome of the SIU investigation and the delivery of the SIU report. On the 5th of July, the SIU referral report, so this is not the final report that we are referring to today, but a different report.
On the 5th of July, the SIU referral report, so this is not the final report, but we
okay, I got a lot of feedback there. That referral report had highlighted that a number of officials were alleged to have committed misconduct, and a letter to the SIU requesting the full report was only submitted on the 24th of July. So in the period between the 5th of July and the 24th of July, the department and the minister did not have the full SIU report, but just a number of engagements had taken place with the department, with the DG of the department, and with some submissions of some documents that were incomplete, and they were still finalizing some of their investigations. On the 29th of September, 2 days ago, with the release of the full SIU report, which had been presented to the presidency, that was the first time the Department of Health and the Minister had the full reports with all the details. Now, the issue that had been raised by the Auditor General in the first place was that there was a need. The AG had said that they, in their investigations or their watching of what was happening with the COVID environment, had identified a need for an investigation into the department, by the department, to interrogate the rates that were being charged by Digital Vibes. So it was not specifically at that point looking at the process by which the contract had been awarded, but more about whether the rates that were being charged were benchmarked against any other service providers. So the core findings, as one can see from the SIU report, and there's obviously details around this as well, can be summarized in this slide as that there was an irregular awarding of the tender, that procurement procedures were not followed, that Treasury regulations were flouted, that the Public Finance Management Act procedures were not followed. There was also a finding that some officials who had been involved in the process had conflict of interest, and also that there was fruitless and wasteful expenditure of about 72 million rand, and therefore that money must be reclaimed, but also irregular expenditure to the tune of the full contract of 150 million rand. Those are the core findings. So if we move to the steps that have been taken, which is perhaps where we should spend more of our time, a letter of demand was issued to Digital Vibes for the payment of funds due to the Department of Health, and the Department of Health was supporting the SIU in a court application for the recovery of the 150 million rand. That's an ongoing process, and a number of individuals and companies have been identified as part of that recovery process. The department has appointed through the Director General, a number of investigators, some advocates in collaboration with the state law advisors, to investigate and formulate charges against the people who were mentioned in the department and other departments in the SIU report. There were a number of letters issued by the DG of intention to suspend those individuals who were mentioned, and they were given an opportunity to respond. That included communication with the accounting officers of a number of other government departments and entities for three officials who are not part of the health department, one of whom is a former member of the Department of Health, and two others who had been involved in the tender evaluation process. but who are not employees of the Department of Health. Now, in the last 2 days, it's no longer an intention to suspend, but we have issued suspension letters on the 30th of September, yesterday, to the six officials in the Department of Health, excluding the DG. I'll speak to that separately in a moment, so that the finalization of the charges can take place in an environment where nobody can be found to be interfering with that process. The DG has been put on precautionary suspension from the authority of the presidency, separate from that process. As I said, there are six Department of Health officials whose names are mentioned in this process. And there are three officials who now are in other departments and the entity of the government printers who are also involved in this suspension process. So regarding the Director General, on the 16th of August, so the point to be made is that Directors General are appointed by the President, not by the Minister and not under the authority of another Director General. And that means that the Presidency has to take the responsibility for any form of disciplinary against the Director General. So on the 16th of August, the President wrote to the Minister at Durco, appointing her to investigate alleged misconduct. The Presidency normally and the President would not appoint the Minister who is the Minister of that Director General, always appoint a different Minister, to investigate the alleged misconduct against the DG, Dr. Buthelezi, who was not in the department at the time of the appointment of the Digital Vibes, but subsequently was appointed during the lifespan of the Digital Vibes contract. And a copy of that letter that the President wrote to the Minister at Durco was copied to the Minister of Health, Minister Pashla. On the 31st of August, the Minister at Durco wrote a letter to the Minister of Health informing him that she had investigated the matter and intended to place the DG of the Health Department on precautionary suspension. On the 2nd of September, the DG then took annual leave in order to respond to the letter that was given to him by the Minister at Durco of the intention to impose precautionary suspension. And then the acting DG, was appointed to act while the DG was on leave. On the 16th of September, that intention to place the DG on precautionary suspension was implemented and the DG was placed on precautionary suspension and the Minister of Health then extended my appointment as acting DG to act in his place. So where we find ourselves in the last 2 days is for those officials, those six officials implemented. So I'm not referring now to the DG, that is a separate process that's being followed outside of the control of the Department of Health and outside of the responsibility of the Minister of Health. For the other officials, now what is necessary is the formulation of the charges. And as I've said, the investigating officers have been appointed. They have reviewed the documents. So now we've given them the final reports as well as the other notes that have been provided by the SIU. And based on that, they have given us a preliminary indication that they would like to discuss with the SIU some of the statements that are in that report. And they also want to interview some specialist in procurement in the public sector before they formulate any charges against any of the six people who are currently on precautionary suspension. The charges, once formulated, will be presented to each official. And I must say, it's not a foregone conclusion that charges will be laid against all of those six, only if the investigating officers feel that the charges against each of them individually is valid and will stick in a disciplinary hearing. The individuals, once presented with charges, will be given an opportunity to prepare for a disciplinary hearing. The chairperson of the disciplinary committee has already been appointed, also an advocate, and the disciplinary committee hearings will then take place. The disciplinary outcomes are usually either of misconduct, of serious misconduct, or of gross misconduct, and the implications of each of those will be an implementation. If the outcome is that the individual is guilty of misconduct, there could be a final written warning. If it's serious, it could be a final written warning, and in the case of gross misconduct, dismissal. But that is the decision of the disciplinary committee, who then make those final decisions and recommend them to the department. In respect of the funds that are that I mentioned earlier on, the whole 150 million and the 72 million, the Special Tribunal has already been given the authority to recover funds from bank accounts, and as far as we are aware, has already attached some bank accounts, and then they have authority to attach other properties in order to recover funds, as many of the funds as possible, to the government. In respect of the potential criminal charges that are mentioned in the report, that is a matter that the SIU will communicate with the National Prosecuting Authority. And when the NPA feels that there is a case that could be made for criminal charges against anybody, it's the NPA that will manage from there. So those are the processes. In terms of those that are, which are in our control in the Department of Health, we will manage them as quickly as possible, because we are currently in a position with a number of our people being on suspension, and we would like this to be dealt with quickly so that if people are coming back, they can get back to work, and if they're not, that we can move on. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Chris, and the department for the presentation, and also to the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Honourable members, you have heard and seen the presentation. I am now going to entertain those who wanted to ask questions, and I have put the list out on our WhatsApp group. The first one is Honorable Hanstaden, number two is Honorable Wahube, number three is Honorable Sukacha, number four, Honorable Sheikh Imam, number five, Honorable Biela, number six, Honorable Tepakwayo, number seven, Honorable Churwa's question to be asked by Honorable Temba Kwayo, number eight, Honorable Ismail, number nine, Honorable Sukers, and number 10 would be myself. So we will take the questions in that order. Thank you, Honorable Members. Just before we do that, I see the hand of the Minister is raised on the platform. Honorable Minister, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Chair. In a difficult area, so I've stopped. So I just want to apologize that my network let me down, but I've stopped now. I'll be listening to the discussion. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome, Minister. Thank you. Honorable members, if you can raise those questions in that order, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good evening to all the colleagues, Honorable Minister, and Acting DG of the Department. First of all, Chairperson, I would like to thank you for answering my letter I've been sending to you about this matter a few weeks ago. I appreciate it very much. In efforts to release the report from the SIU from the presidency, thank you for your response in that regard. And second of all, I want to thank the acting DG, Dr. Crisp, for coming to us this evening with this comprehensive report. It's a much better report than we have received from Dr. Buthelezi 2 months ago, which was only with a little of information. Chairperson, the Freedom Front Plus welcomes the announcement of a suspension of these officials implicated in the digital rights scandal. I think that the evidence collected by the SIU is damning, and it must be used in the disciplinary process as well. I also would want to see that these officials are also criminally prosecuted at once, and that the guilty individuals must not only have disciplinary steps taken against them. And the minister's undertaking yesterday to ensure that nothing relating to the matter will be swept under the rug is welcome. And Minister, we will keep you to your word in this matter. Therefore, Honourable Chairperson, I have only four questions on this matter, and it is as follows. I just would want to know, on the last page which was presented on the slides now by Dr. Crisp, and I just want to get more clarity in all of these. I just want to know, first of all, when do we have any indication when the disciplinary process will be starting? The second question is, how will this process be conducted? Can you elaborate a bit more on what you have said now to us? And my third question is, when will this process be completed? Is there a time frame attached to it, or can't you tell us really now about it? And my last question is, after this whole process has been finished and the disciplinary hearings has been done, will an announcement be made either by the minister or the acting GG or the deputy minister on the outcome of this process, at least to us as portfolio committee members, that we don't be kept in the dark like the previous months which was passed, but we don't know what's going on. So can we be kept in the loop for all time of what is going on, and can we be updated consistently on how the process will be followed? Thank you, Honourable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for speedily calling this meeting so that we may be able to be briefed about the events in the Department of Health. Chairperson, before I ask my questions, which are quite brief, because I think the presentation that was presented to us was quite comprehensive, and the press conference that the minister had yesterday, the day before, did provide some updates around the suspensions. But Chair, I do want to say this because it would be amiss for me not to say. A couple of months ago, this committee, a number of people in this committee said it was absolutely critical that the former minister and the senior management of the department be summoned to this committee to answer questions around this particular matter. Not only did we ask that because we wanted to share this information, but because it is our constitutional duty to understand what has gone on in the kind of detail that we have heard today back then. And the reality, Chair, is that we've also got to take accountability where we have erred. Members of this committee, a number of them, particularly members of the ANC, shielded the former minister from accountability and blocked that meeting from happening, talking about sub judice rules, talking about how the matter could not be properly ventilated. And now with the publication of this SIU report, it is absolutely clear to us that we, because of the majority that is held by the governing party in this committee, we failed in our duty, because we had an opportunity to pose direct questions to the former minister, but we didn't do that because we were blocked from doing that. And so I do want to say, Chair, in closing, that the members of the ANC in this committee must hang their head in shame, because not only did they block accountability, but they failed the people of South Africa. And so I've got three questions really to the minister and his senior management. Number one, would want to understand, with the suspensions that have gone on now of a number of senior management roles, what is the plan to make sure that the department remains stable in one of the largest vaccination rollout programs in the country? The reason being is because there, amongst these people is the DDG, amongst these people is the CFO, and so we've got to understand what contingency plans are put in place to be able to carry out the work of this department. The people of South Africa cannot suffer because a few individuals within the department decided it was their time to eat and decided it was their time to steal public money. And so therefore, it's important to understand from the minister, with these serious allegations that are being faced by the senior management of the department, what is the plan to ensure stability? We've got an acting DG, sure, but what about the other positions, and how are you making sure that no service delivery matters are being dropped? And number two, How has this, and I mean, this is more of a perception and I suppose a brand damage issue, acting DG and minister. I would like to understand, I mean, is there a position on how this matter, particularly with the publication of this report after months and months of asking for this report to be made public, has this affected the uptake in your view and also the perception around the vaccination program? And if so, what kind of measures are put in place to make sure that we're still encouraging people to get vaccinated in spite of all the internal turmoil that is happening in the department? And number three, in fact, the second last question, I wanted to just follow up on my colleague's previous question around the process. Of course, there needs to be a process that is followed, and Dr. Crisp had sort of outlined a number of the steps that need to follow. But ultimately, Minister, I think it is the credibility of the department that hangs in the balance and your credibility as a new minister to make sure that, you know, suspensions are not accountability, colleagues. Suspensions are merely that. They are paid suspensions and people are in the, while the process is unfolding, are put on leave and are suspended. But real accountability is making sure that those people, and we showcase and we make an example of people who have been found of wrongdoing. And so what consequence management plan is put in place, Minister, to make sure that those people who have, not only who are facing allegations, but who have been found guilty, will be removed and replaced, and what kind of process is there? And then, Minister, several weeks ago, when we posed the questions around digital vibes, and particularly around the suspension of the DG at the time, you had stated that there was work, an internal investigation that was happening within the department. I'd like to understand how far has that gone, and also how will that now tie in with this process around the release of the SIU report? So the question really is, how is the internal process of the department marrying with the NPA process and the SIU process? And then the last question, Chair, is, we saw the president announce the Vuma vaccination program last night, and it would be really useful if the minister could give us an indication of the scope of this project or the scope of this program, how much it's going to cost, who is all involved, because, Chair, the last thing that we need is a situation where yet another vaccination program or yet another department program is used as a looting opportunity. And so we need ultimate transparency. And so if we can get some kind of briefing around, in place of what has gone on, how can the department assure us and put measures in place to be transparent about the new vaccination program, which is an absolute welcome move, because of course we need to encourage South Africans to get vaccinated, but we do need details as members of parliament about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Gwakhobe. Just before Honorable Sukacha comes, I've seen the hand of Honorable Modiyai, but I have responded on the platform. Is that to ask a question, Honorable Modiyai?
No, I just wanted to be noted, Honorable Chair.
Yes, you are noted as number 10 after Honorable Sukas. Honorable Sukacha, please continue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. You let me also take this opportunity and welcome the report from the team of the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the Department, and also like to say thank you very much to you, Honorable Chairperson, for having called this meeting where we will discuss the issue of the outcome of the report of the SIU. Chairperson, first of all, I really want to indicate here that, you know, I don't think ANC members block this report. I really don't think so. Our understanding, I don't want to refer to past meetings, but I will have to address this issue because one member raised it. Our understanding as ANC members was that the SIU was still busy with the investigation of the report. So that's why we are having this report today, because they've got a fully fledged report that has been the outcome of their investigation. So it's been malicious for a member to say ANC members block the report. I don't think that that is quite correct. Chairperson, let me go to my questions. Dr. Christ mentioned that that charges will be formulated, and secondly, that charges will be presented to the affected officials. My question, Chair, is when? When will these charges be, or how long is it going to take for the charges to be formulated? Because the Honorable Van Staden said that when will the disciplinary hearings start? Mine is a bit earlier, because for the disciplinary hearing, you need to have charges. I know, Chairperson, cases like this usually drag for a very long time. I hope charges will be formulated very quickly and they will be presented to the affected officials. So my interest, Dr. Crisp, is when will these charges be formulated, because these officials are getting paid. The longer we drag this case, the longer they will still be getting paid while they are at home. Then my second point, question, Chair, is around Dr. Chris mentioned that it's 6 officials that have been affected, and these officials are senior officials of the department. So my interest, Chair, I know they only got the letters yesterday. I just want to check, and it's clear also that these senior officials, as they are suspended, it will affect the runnings of the department. I just want to check from Dr. Crisp and the minister and the team, are there plans in place to make sure that those positions of the senior officials does not affect, you know, the day-to-day running of the department? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Can I come in, Chairperson?
Yes, you are welcome. Thank you
very much, Chairperson. Allow me to thank you for making it possible to have this meeting as a matter of urgency to deal with the challenges that we face. Well, I'm going to have some very unusual questions for you here today, Chairperson. I would like to know, what was the role of the minister who was the deputy minister during this time? You know, how did this happen while the minister was a deputy minister and no one in this department picked it up? And we're picking it up as a result of the Auditor General's findings against the department, and particularly this man. I'd also like to know how many other officials in this department who might be implicated or might not be implicated or not implicated thus far were at any time aware of anything irregular that was going on, particularly in these contracts for the COVID-19 and the NHI, and either chose to keep quiet and do nothing about it or highlighted it with some other influential people in the department and did not get the due attention to deal with the problem. Now, Chairperson, I'm not sure if you're going to agree with me. The fact that this matter has gone to the extent it has, that 150 million rand had already been paid. The question that arises is, where is the oversight mechanism in this department? That leads me to another question, that if officials as senior as these that are implicated, DGs and TDGs, who have been playing a mammoth role in trying to convince the public that they act in the best interest of the public, how can any person on the ground have any trust or confidence in officials who are implicated in such levels of corruption? Okay, and yet you expect us on the ground, or the ordinary man and woman on the street, to have some confidence and belief or trust in them. Now, the question that arises in many issues like ivermectin and plenty other things opens up a lot of questions in terms of objectivity, you know, conflict of interest. It opens up a can of worms, no doubt about that. Now, the other question I have, I think I might have it right if I say all these people that are now going to be suspended or have been suspended are all going to be suspended with full pay. And then it begs the question, when can we have finality on this matter so we stop paying people? Now, I'd like you to tell us how much of money have you already spent in uncovering this in terms of the investigation you've done? How much more money are you expected to spend? And how much you think you're going to recover from this? Money that could have been put to good use as you had you had back-end oversight mechanisms in place to prevent matters of this nature. So I'd love to know in terms of that funding, how much you have thus far spent and how much you're intending to spend there. I've asked you about that. Chair, let me come back if necessary a little later so that I don't hold the other members up. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, I'm covered by Honorable Sokacha regarding the issue of us blocking the minister not to come to the department. I'm not going to repeat that. I think it's very clear. Chairperson, we would like to welcome the tabling of this report by the minister and the Department of Health. Questions that I want to ask, who will be formulating the charges for the officials that are not in the Department of Health? The other question that I want to ask also, how is the department planning on making a certain that challenges such as these do not happen in the future? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's my opportunity now.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to thank you, Chairperson, for creating this opportunity for the minister to come and give us an update on this matter. I will start with the questions from Honorable Chirwa, and it's stated as follows to the minister and NDOH. Did you know prior on who in the department was being investigated? What proactive steps did you take to find out if any official was involved, and which steps did you take to ensure accountability? My questions are as follows. On page 50, this is directed to the minister. On page 50 of the report, it is stated that the NDOH and Digital Vibes agreed in advance to the price for such an ad hoc services and authorization from the NDOH. Again, on page 51 of the report, it stated on the 18th of December 2019, various officials of the NDOH through an NDOH order, NDOH procurement advice, and an NDOH request memorandum approved an amount of 1,847,734 for payment to Digital Vibes. My question is, where were you, Minister, when all these transactions were taking place? Can you tell us that you are not in one way or the other implicated in this matter? What about if one of those officials mention you or drag you along in this? Will you be ready to resign? Can you please answer that? Will it be simple for you to resign or step aside? Thank you.
Good evening, and once again, thank you for the presentation. Honorable Ismail here. Firstly, I want to say thank you for calling this meeting. We have been waiting for the SIU report for a long time now. Secondly, I want to second Honorable Sibiwe's statement that we had an opportunity to ask questions to the former minister and the senior officials. They were protected by the ANC members of this portfolio committee by stating that the matter was sub judice. You know, there were times that we had to actually fight with the previous chairperson to say, you know what, we want the minister to come and the National Department of Health to actually give us more more reports on the vaccine rollout, et cetera, et cetera. Only after a lot of, nagging and so forth, we started getting more prompt meetings with the minister and where we were getting more, monthly reports, if I can put it that way. Prior to that, we were not, as a portfolio committee, we were deprived of a lot of information. And this states clearly that we were not given an opportunity to do effective oversight, and that is what our job is. So my questions are simple. What consequence management plans are in place for those who have been implicated and found guilty of stealing public money? My second question, how much money has been budgeted for the Vuma vaccination campaign, and how are we going to ensure that these monies are actually properly used so that we don't have a repetition of the digital vibe saga? My next question, what reporting mechanisms are in place to ensure there's transparency in the money spent for this program so that, we must remember that this is taxpayers' money being spent, and we need to ensure that, there is accountability and transparency, as stated before. And lastly, I think I was covered with this question, but nevertheless, I'll state it. How is the suspension of these officials affecting the smooth running of the department so that service level is not affected? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will mostly make a comment, and I have one question, Chair. I also want to just join my colleagues in saying thank you for promptly calling this meeting. The problem with this that this report highlights, Chair, and for all of us in the committee, is that there is a culture, seemingly a culture of impunity that exists within the Department of Health and broader in government at large. There is a culture of impunity. If you read the report and you see the deviations that happened, there seems to be no fear for consequences at all. And it is worrying, it should be, for all of us that serves South Africa at this level, and that is our job to hold the executive to account. So a number of my colleagues have highlighted the issue of oversight, accountability, and the responses of the department when questions were asked, not just in relation to digital vibes, but also in terms of the handling of the COVID response in general. So I want to make an example of that. When we spoke of strategic sourcing and procurement during the vaccine acquisition period, there were a number of questions that were asked. And I remember very succinctly in one of the meetings that the previous minister deliberately, in hindsight, threw us a red herring in that. When we spoke of strategic sourcing, we questioned on the service level agreements with vaccine manufacturers and that. And I'm using the example to say there is within government and within the executive a disrespect and a disregard for committees in general. And we have officials that and the executive that deliberately avoid questions. So we have the theater of politics being played when we are actually dealing with a matter that is affecting millions of our people, and specifically the health of our nation that directly impacts the economy of the nation as well. So Chair, I want to, I'm making this comment on the record because we all have a collective responsibility that this does not happen again. And all of us, this is our country, whether you're the media or whether you are a public representative or an official, this is our country. and it bleeds on our watch. So I want to directly speak to the Department of Health. I am really, and I have brought it up in several committees that I serve on, I am sick and tired of the theater that's being played and the disregard and disrespect that is being shown to public representatives when they ask questions, and the theater that is being conducted when we ask questions. I asked the question and mentioned it in the budget speech on the 13th of May about communication. Specifically, and we were talking about the promotional messages that were going out around COVID. It was not to do with this digital vibes issue. It is on the fringes. But rightly, both Honorable Kwarube and now Honorable Ishmael has highlighted this. We need transparency from officials around how you are going to do campaigns going forward. There are problems in the COVID response. There have been many problems. We have not received answers on those. So this needs to be addressed and it needs to be stopped. And my question this tonight is this. How will the executive make sure that this will never happen again? And we do not want an MBA answer. We need to know that you have read this report. You have seen the gaps that existed. You've got senior managers that in the biggest crisis of this nation is not in their jobs. It must have a huge impact on the organization, your organization as a department. So what are you doing about that as well? What are the stopgap measures? And do not tell us that one person is going to take on all the responsibilities of people that are currently not in the jobs that they are being paid for, but are getting ready to answer disciplinary hearings on the taxpayer's dime. So what, this is the question, what is being done internally in the organization as stopgap measures in order to address that? And what is the internally to cover for those functions that are currently not there? And then, what are being done by the executive to ensure that this never happens? And what are you saying to the committee in terms of the many things that the several questions that was asked by honorable members here in terms of the lack of a proper response when we were asking questions over this period? And I'm not just referring to digital vibes. My last question, Chair, I said one and I apologize for that, but my last question is, what is the NDOH, what has the NDOH done to address the impact of the digital vibes on the culture of NDOH? What change management strategies are they employing? Because internally within the organization, obviously from a culture perspective, it must be reverberating. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Munyai.
Thank you.
Honorable Munyai, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Can hear you now, Honorable Munyai?
Esteemed honorable members, the governing party, the African National Congress, kept its commitment and obligation. The National Department of Health, led by the Ministry and the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee at that time, implemented the decision that when the report of the SIU is ready and concluded, it will be brought before this Portfolio Committee on Health. That has been done. I must say, Honorable Chairperson, the phenomenon of corruption is not a new in South Africa, both in the pre-democratic and post-democratic era. As the ANC now, we are experiencing, and the country, we are experiencing the most momentous period of upheaval since the dawn of the democratic era breakthrough. With those party leaders who grandstand using the alleged corruption as a propaganda that there are some political parties, I must say, members, who are parading as anti-corruption activists, yet they are campaigning around the alleged corruption, claiming that the ANC was blocking reports, yet it's nothing but subjective of reality rather than the objective reality, Honorable Chair. Using this report as a weapon to attack the governing party, the African National Congress, I must register this concern that this is a sheer act of populism, coupled with disparate campaigning in the wrong platform, and they will not succeed to tarnish the image of the African National Congress. I must therefore, Honorable Chair, welcome the report that has been presented before this portfolio committee. And I don't think it is useful because the practical and urgent action has been indicated what needs to happen, what is going to be done. And I know it's very difficult to understand for those parties that are not a governing party because they don't have responsibility to govern and hold those that are alleged to be involved in corruption accountable. So therefore, I must say, we welcome this report, Honorable Chairperson, and agree that the, you know, where any official was found to be engaged in corrupt activity, there must be, you know, consequence management. Where the official was not involved in an act of corruption, they will clear their name and the cloud over their head. I submit, Honorable Chair, that the department and the ministry must continue to do their work without fear or favor, regardless of those that parade in the corners, not understanding the statecraft of dealing with corruption. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Members, for your comments and for your questions which were raised to the Minister and the Department. I think we also need to thank the Department for coming with the Minister and the Deputy Minister to come and give us this update tonight. But we must also be thankful to the President for initiating this investigation and express their thankfulness, as well as to the SIU for actually doing the investigation and then handing the report to the President. We note the alleged transgressions and the regulations which were contravened. We're also noting the actions which the department say they are going to take. Of course, when I look at the contraventions which are mentioned, and I ask myself, what is it that the portfolio committee will be doing? Or what is it that we can do in terms of our mandate to enhance oversight? And so in terms of that same question, I then want to ask the department, what is it that the department will do to ensure that these things do not happen again? And on the plans of the department to address the challenges of filling any vacancies in senior management, and even in middle management of the department, when will they be able to do so, and what is that process? Because this is a very important department, especially in terms of the health services which our people are expected to receive. And therefore, it is very critical that there is stability within the department. I'd also like to know when the DDG, who was responsible or is responsible for primary health care, will be brought back to the department, as she is now an administrator in the Northwest province. And so I think generally the concern is that the department should be able to provide us with timelines on when they will be able to execute the actions which they said they would be able to do. Also, in terms of our own timelines as a portfolio committee, we would like to align our timelines with the answers we will be receiving from the department but also to take it forward as we go after the elections, return to the work which has been set before us as from the 4th of November. Thank you very much. Those are all the questions to yourselves, Honourable Minister and Deputy Minister and Dr. Nicholas Chris. The Minister may start off to answer any of these and then probably indicate you will be answering the other questions which you will not take personally. Thank you very much.
thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I hope that I can be heard. Can you confirm that I'm audible?
Yes, I can confirm, Minister. Can I just ask you to hold it for a short while? I saw that Honorable Wilson wants to ask the question. Honorable Wilson, you are a bit late. You did indicate you were struggling to connect. Can you ask it maybe a short question? Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and my apologies. I've been trying to get in for almost an hour, and it's not with any fault from your side. It's from my side. I'm in a rural area, and comms are very bad here. And I, my apologies, and I've probably missed a lot, including the presentation. Just from my side, apart from the SIU report that we're getting on the digital vibe, I just want to express my concern that we've got two other reports also being submitted to premiers, one being in Limpopo, one being in the Eastern Cape. And we have now had a situation where we've got PPE corruption in Gauteng also under investigation. So I think we now sit at a point where we're at a very, very critical stage. And I look forward to the minister's responses, because unless action is taken very urgently, our already very frail health system is going to collapse completely. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Minister, you may continue.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thank you to all the members for the questions which have been raised. Again, my apology. I've been also on the, in the outlying areas in KZN, very close to high mountains where the network is very difficult. So I won't even attempt to put on a camera, being also on the side of the road. From Honorable Van Staden, the matters which you have raised, I'll ask, I'm sure the acting DG has noted, they also relate to follow-up questions by a number of honorable members. In terms of the processes of the disciplinary charges, criminal charges, when will they happen, and so on. I'm sure Dr. Chris would have captured those time frames, and also the amounts. I'm sure the acting DG will deal with that. I'll ask him to deal with those matters. Honorable Kwakhube, the question of stability of the department is definitely top of our minds, myself and the Deputy Minister and the acting DG. So what we are doing immediately, it became clear which way things were going, was to try and pull in people who could double up from other functions. Just to give you an example, and it's not all the answers, we're finding a number of answers. This would cover also Honorable Chair, Honorable Jacobs. For instance, I've already approached the Minister of COCTA to say that the DDG, who is now administrator in the Northwest, because there is already now a head of department appointed, that we should shorten. That DDG has been there for more than 2 years, that she has completed a handover report, and that we should find a way. So in the next week, we'll be discussing the handover report, and then we'll be engaging the Premier of the Northwest and also the team Minister of COCTA, who is the leader of the Interministerial Committee, in an attempt to make sure that Ms. Jeanette Hunter can come back to national office. But we have also looked at other entities of the department and other divisions where we could pull in people where there's long-term responsibilities and programs, so that we could shift people and get a few more people focusing on taking over the urgent functions, such as the issue of the management of the COVID-19, making sure that our health platform can be stabilized, because even though the numbers are down, we are anticipating that most likely somewhere around December there might be a resurgence, and also the vaccination campaign, a management of the rollout of the vaccine program. So there are a number of other officials who are trying to rearrange their focus so that the national office can still be able to manage. But of course, it is our top priority as well to make sure that these matters don't drag. But we're also pursuing there are other vacancies. This situation comes in when there have already been other vacancies which were just pushing with the corporate services to make sure that we can be able to find suitable people through the correct processes to fill in those vacancies. So those are the steps which we are taking to stabilize the department. The effect on the vaccination program, I think it's too early to be able to measure that, especially in the sense that there are other factors which affect the uptake of the vaccination. As we have seen, it's been fluctuating. And sometimes when we open up certain sectors, then it will pick up and then slump again. And currently, because we have opened up for all adults, there's not much room, of course. So the actual effect of the maybe the decline in confidence, that's a matter which we will be able to evaluate, and it's very subjective. It might be difficult. We are hoping also that this mobilization of this weekend should be able to help to revamp the interest of the people. Now, in terms of the effect of the DC processes, consequence management, honorable members, we clearly would have been happy to can deal with this, you know, very, very quickly and decisive and quick, and know the know the outcomes, so that we can be sure, you know, if some people, you know, would ultimately end up having to exit, who would be those, so that, you know, we could fill in the positions. And if others, as Dr. Crisp has indicated, the outcomes will be either a kind of you know, major, medium, or minimum, and which will determine the sanction ultimately. Now, all those things, we have to follow the law, the Public Service Act and regulations, and the procedures laid down within the labor relations legislation. Everybody must have their time. They must, so, but we from what you have what the instructions which you have given is that when there is a delay, it can be from our side. So that's why immediately the report was finalized. We said move quickly in terms of appointing investigating officers as prescribed. The SIU has done quite a lot. So in terms of the actual information, there is not really a lot of work to be done. The investigating team would just need to verify here and there. So I don't expect that in terms of finalizing what would be the decision as to whether all the people have specific charges to face. I don't expect that that should take more than 10 working days, really, to finalize that and then start the hearings. We would be happy if before the end of October, we could have certainty on these matters without flouting the rules. Because again, if you flout the rules, if you cut corners, then the outcomes will be challenged in the labor court, in the CCMA, and in the high courts, and so on. And then it will just be another delay and waste of public funds. Now, Honorable Kwakhube, in terms of the internal investigation, the only internal investigation was the one which was initiated by the audit, the forensic a team of the Ngubane and partners, which was initiated by the now suspended DG. That's the one which there was no other internal investigation. And the report of that investigation was then submitted to the SIU. So besides that, there is no parallel investigation. Everything was ultimately, you know, combined into the SIU report. And that's why we've always been saying, once the SIU report is over, we'll be able to act. The Vuma campaign, honorable members, it's not an extra project. It's part and parcel of the vaccination program. There is no extra expenditure. I'll ask Dr. Crisp just to confirm. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not aware of any request for extra funding. This is essentially is a mobilization. What the president has asked was that we must create a focused weekend through which all leaders of society, leaders in government, wherever they are allocated as champions in various districts, must go out there, work with the people on the ground, support our vaccinators, our health care workers, including community health care workers, in mobilizing. So as far as I'm aware, and I've not been approached with any indication that there will be any application for vials of funds or for extra funding from National Treasury. It is purely a mobilization program which gets all leaders, inspires all leaders to get on the ground like many of us have been doing in terms of just normal community work, but in a very focused and concerted effort. So I know there was some other members who also raised this matter. Honorable Sokacha, I think, again, Dr. Chris will be able to deal with the length and of also the when will the charges be finalized. As I've indicated, I've already given instruction that this must be very speedy because the SIU has done most of the work, but I'll leave it to the acting DG to say a lot more on that matter. Honorable Sheikh Imam, now you asked us to, in my former role as the deputy minister, what my role was. Now, honorable members, I think we have given the history of this matter and indicated that the first time, at least from my side as part of the executive authority of the department became aware, was when the Auditor General flagged this matter. Remember that early in the COVID-19 outbreak, the president gave a specific request to the Auditor General that the funding and the monitoring of the project related to the COVID-19 should not wait for normal audit reports, but that the Auditor General should provide specific focus in terms of overseeing how the funds around the COVID intervention are being spent. And it is in the context of this that the Auditor General then flagged this matter as in our report, indicating that they were convinced that there was overcharging by the company called Digital Vibes. And as a result of that, then the investigation was started in terms of the forensic company, the Ngubane and Associates. Now, you would know, honorable members, that ordinarily, and as a matter of corporate governance, as the executive authority, there is a separation of duties. There are the duties of the accounting officer and the duties of the executive authority. And essentially and normally, it is not the business of the accounting authority to get involved in procurement, except either when the matter is flagged, either by the Auditor General or by maybe the internal audit team or by the audit committee within the department when there are those reports. Unless a matter is flagged in that regard, ordinarily, as part of the executive, you don't really get involved in terms of the day-to-day procurement of services and appointment of contractors. So it is within that context that one became aware and was assured that what has been flagged is being investigated, and subsequently, as was indicated, a report was then provided in terms of that team of investigators which was appointed by the accounting officer at that stage. Of course, it's quite clear that there were some failings in terms of the internal mechanisms, in terms of the internal audit, the external audit. It's clear that the fact that this was only picked up by the Auditor General, and subsequently, soon after that, that there was also a whistleblower reporting to the SIU. And that's why a few weeks after the Ngubane and associate were appointed, the SIU also indicated that they have been briefed by a whistleblower, and they made also a submission then to the president to be granted the authority then to also go further into investigation. And the president duly gave that authority, signed the proclamation to give authority to the SIU to investigate this matter. And that's through these processes that one became aware of exactly first time when the Auditor General, and then of course the report of the Ngubane and Associate laid bare even more than just the overcharging, the fact that there was a lot of irregularities in that regard. And once that became known, the SIU having also been granted the proclamation, of course, we then had to wait for the final investigation by the SIU. I think Honorable Imam also raised the question of how much was spent. I'm not sure whether the acting HOD, DG, and the acting CFO would have immediately the answer in terms of how much the Ngubane and associate cost. I'm not certain about that cost. I'm sure they might have it immediately. If not, we can come back with a report which indicates how much was the cost of that. Further costs will be in terms of the disciplinary processes, the procurement, the engagement of investigating officers and also presiding officers. I think the estimate of that cost, because that's still work to be done, that can also be reported to the honorable members. In terms of, again, Honorable Geller, the formulation of the charges, Dr. Crisp will be able to respond to that. In terms of avoiding further, clearly, as I've accepted that this has shown serious shortcomings in terms of our internal audit monitoring system, both internal audit and also external. That's an area which clearly over and above relying on the regular audit by the Auditor General, we have to look at that and make sure that there is proper work in that regard, and that as the executive authority, we receive reports on a regular basis, not less than quarterly, and even as often as even more than quarterly in terms of the current pandemic. So those are the lessons which we have learned, that some of the systems which are there have got some shortcomings, and therefore we need to make even further a watch on that. Honorable Tembegwayo also bring a question from Honorable Chira. The knowledge of who is being investigated, I think we've outlined in the report, honorable members, that the first time it was just a flagging of overcharging by the Auditor General. Once the Ngubane team came in, they then flagged serious irregularities in terms of the procurement process, and at that stage indicated officials who they believed were implicated in the irregular procurement processes. But as the acting DG indicated, after that report, there was an attempt by the DG then to start a process against the officials who were flagged by the Ngubane report. But the SIU then came in to say, please hold any action because you don't want duplication. Let us complete our investigation, comprehensive investigation. And at that time, there were a number of officials who were already flagged. But because of the fact that the SIU had indicated that they wanted a more thorough investigation, whatever process, at that stage, as honorable members now and then had asked there were some letters which had been issued of some individuals, some of them, are, in fact, most is the same people who were flagged by the Ungubane report, where the DG had already sent letters to them to indicate intention to suspend and why they should not be suspended, that they should respond. But that process was halted as a result of the intervention of the SIU. The issue of ad hoc agreements, Honorable Thembe Kwayo, and as to where I was in terms of this and whether I'll be ready to resign, I'm not sure exactly in terms of residing in terms of what. If the Honorable Member is aware of any kind of any aspect in terms of this matter which implicate myself, I think the Honorable Member is free to provide that information to the Special Investigating Unit so that that information can, as they've indicated, that the matter is not totally closed, even though they've completed any further information, whether it's myself or any other person, Honorable Member, or any other member of the department or any individual is free to can submit such information to the SIU. As I've already said in answering Honorable Sheikh Imam, that there is a segregation of duties in terms of the law, in terms of what executive authorities are responsible for and what accounting officers are responsible for. And part of what, as you would see, when you read both the Ngubane report and the SIU report, they also flag that matter in terms of where they believe that our former minister, in their assessment, had overstepped some of those in terms of what they believe was actually the responsibility of the accounting officer rather than the minister or the executive. So clearly, in terms of those agreements, unless if there is a red flag, either in terms of from the internal audit or external audit, or from any other audit in terms of the Auditor General or any other red flag which is raised by National Treasury or any other party which would have detected. And it is only when such matters are flagged that as an executive, normally you would be aware that something has gone amiss. Honorable Ismail, I think consequence management, I've already indicated that we have to follow the proper legal procedures in terms of the law, in terms of the Labor Relations Act, so that at the end, whatever the finalization, no matter how we may have the appetite to conclude matters speedily, we have to follow the letter of the law so that we are not found wanting when the process is concluded. I've already dealt with the issue of the VUMA, that as far as, and I'll ask Dr. Christie to comment about this again, I'm not aware of any request which has been brought to our attention in terms of any additional resources in this regard. The smooth running of the department, I've already mentioned the steps which we are taking to make sure that we can close the gaps. It's going to be difficult, as I've said, already we had quite a number of vacancies, some of which have been advertised, and difficulty, whether maybe it's because of trust in government, one of the senior positions, we hardly had much of, applications. So we have to go and re-advertise again and try and encourage, you know, maybe more people to apply. So those are some of the challenges which we are facing. Now, I'm trying to just get also from Honorable Sukers. I think also in terms of the functions, she's concerned about that. Also in terms of how we prevent this in future, I've already indicated that we clearly are seeing the fault lines, and we have already discussed the fact that as much as we've read the report as made past public, and also various annexures which were delivered to us on Thursday, on the 29th, that's when at the same time that the president released the report for public. At the same time, we also received the full file with annexures from the SIU. So as we have already read through the documents, but we have to do further studies so that as much as we have seen already some of the gaps, we have to go deeper so that we can make sure that indeed we can prevent any further similar occurrences. Change management, clearly, I mean, this has really rocked the department, as you can imagine. It's a lot of instability, a lot of, you know, uncertainty in terms of a situation where when you have a DG on suspension, DDGs, chief directors. So clearly, we have to also look at issues of stability, not only in terms of functions, but also just change management. And I agree with Honorable Sukers in terms of this particular area. Of course, Honorable Jacobs, in terms of the action, I think I've already spoken about that for prevention, but also preservation of the services. We're doing all our best to make sure that key functions within the department, that the overall responsibility to the public should not suffer in terms of this process. And so we're doing everything, as I've said, pulling in staff from different places, and also fast-tracking within the normal legal process, but making sure without delay where there are also vacancies that those can be filled. Of course, in terms of, as I said, members have asked, because people will be on full pay, that is the law, because as long as people have not been found guilty, they are protected in terms of the labor relations. And for us, it's just to make sure that this can be done speedily, but following the law. It is the protected right in terms of the labor relations and other prescripts. I've already touched on Honorable Jacobs on our attempt to get Ms. Jeanette Hunter, the DDG for primary health, to return. We will be following up during the coming week. As I said, the report is already, a handover report to the new HOD of Northwest is already completed. We'll be meeting with her and then also doing the handover to the Premier of the province. And once that is done, I've got an assurance from the Minister of COCTA, which chairs the Interministerial Committee, that they will do everything possible to make sure that we, our role in the Northwest can be reduced, and that will add more hands in the national department. Let me ask Dr. Chris, there are areas which I said he will be better placed, especially on the processes and also on the concern of members about the VUMA campaign. What is the cost of that? Dr. Chris?
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the question about when will the disciplinary take place, the Minister has said we would like it to be within the next 10 days. The process is that we have already appointed investigators. They have already given me a draft charge sheets for the people concerned, and they have indicated in the draft charge sheets, which I've been through yesterday, where they would still like to collect additional information, both from the SIU and from a procurement specialist in the formulation of their charges. So we are hoping that they're able to confirm that in the course of the coming week. They are appointed by the state attorney, and the payment for those attorneys comes from the Department of Justice. So we are grateful for that work, which should move quite quickly. There are three investigators involved and a chair of a disciplinary committee. So we think it should happen quite quickly. As far as the how it is conducted, that is a process that is it's prescribed, and it is done by those three investigators. As I've said, there's this intention to engage with the SIU. I've already spoken to the Advocate Mativi about the completion of their work and about our engagement, so we don't foresee there being any problem with that. When will it be completed? Well, it depends how long the disciplinary takes after that. When people are charged, they are given an opportunity to view the charges and put their case together for their defense. So there needs to be a reasonable time for the course of justice to take place. But as the Honorable Minister has said, we would like to see this done by the end of October. After the announcement, will the portfolio committee be informed? Yes, indeed. We have made commitment. The Minister's made commitment. And certainly I would like to see that done so that the public is well aware. This has been damaging to us, to our credibility, to our brand. So we have every intention of restoring our credibility afterwards by being very communicative about what has happened. So to turn our attention to the Vuma vaccination campaign, the minister is quite correct. So what has happened is we've reported in to the portfolio committee of our demand generation activities. These activities are coordinated by the National Department of Health with a lot of support from the GCIS. So GCIS's own internal resources are brought to bear. Their connections with a lot of the media campaign, the media, both radio and television and print media, has been fantastic. And we have had a lot of what they call SDA, social commitment announcements that are made on radios. And we don't pay for any of that. It is all commitments because those media outlets regard themselves as part of the necessary communication campaign. There are costs involved, and we have been supported financially by particularly the Solidarity Fund with the printing of materials, signage, and so forth that you see, the development of the artwork that has gone into the various posters and so forth are done either by the National Department internally, or they are done by the provincial departments in the case of, you know, publishing where their sites are and when they'll be open and so forth. The presidency has been directly involved and supportive, and through the presidency, every other government department has used their own internal machinery to mobilize and to get their own politicians and senior officials involved in the Vuma campaign. So we've been extremely fortunate not to have to go out on tender for anything at all for this process. There's been one other donor who has given us technical support by giving us people to work on it, and that's the DG Murray Trust. The effect on the running of the department, I just want to say that as the acting DG now, I've been engaging with everybody else senior in the department. Obviously, I was already part of the senior, what we call our EXCO. And the EXCO members, we have met three times since I've been acting DG. And we are in the process of moving into a new head office, which actually takes place now this week. And over this weekend, our IT systems are moving. So we have almost got like a new birth happening on Monday next week. And we will all be going around, walk about to check that everything is happening. Today, I met with the labor unions to exchange views on what is still outstanding in the process. And we also shared what has been happening in the department with them. And we are trying to build the culture of cooperation and working together so that we strengthen our department. As far as the minister has already explained about the bringing in of additional people from some of our entities to assist us and getting Ms. Hunter back from the Northwest Province. But in this past 10 days, we have already got the processes for interviews for two of the senior positions where there were already shortlistings and that had taken place. One will take place on the 5th next week, and the next one on the 15th. And because those are senior positions, I will also be involved in those panels. And then there are a number of other senior positions where advertisements had already taken place. And I've asked that those shortlistings and the finalization of those be expedited and brought to me so we can strengthen the senior management team. So within this course of October, we have a lot of work to do to rebuild our core. I've been in touch with one of the provinces who has a particularly strong procurement capacity, and they have already agreed in principle that they will assist us with our procurement to get some of these things moving. A last comment perhaps is about the oversight. The department does have an audit and risk committee. It only meets several times a year, and it has a particular agenda that it has to review and look at what has been going on in the department. They are well aware of what has been happening and are strengthening their oversight of what happens in the department. That committee has an external chairperson because that person must also oversee and ensure that the DG or the acting DG in my case is doing what we are supposed to do. And then finally, the Auditor General, as the Honourable Minister said, because these are abnormal times, the President asked the Auditor General to do proactive auditing and not wait for after the fact to audit this financial year. We have a very, very strong and regular engagement with the Auditor General, and I've been involved in some of those meetings through the vaccination program, and there will be a lot of further meetings. Those are preventive rather than performance audits that take place. It's more about risk identification and immediate dealing with the risks that are identified. Some of them are potential risks. Others are genuine risks that we have to close the gap on. So I think that from my perspective and from the senior management of the department, we do work very closely with the provincial administrations. They are the ones who actually run the bulk of the vaccination program. We hope that there hasn't been damage done by this, and I would like to thank my colleagues in the provinces and the senior management who have rallied around to support and keep us stable while we try and rebuild and deal with the immediate consequences over the next month. Thank you very much.
Honourable Chair, I don't know if Deputy Minister may want to add with your permission.
Yes, certainly, Minister. We also have two members who just want to make two short follow-up questions. But I would first allow the Deputy Minister and then take those two short questions. Deputy Minister.
No, Chair. It's just to thank the Portfolio Committee for acknowledging that the department came in so quickly, as the minister has indicated, because we also wanted behind us. So it was very quick. Within 2 days, we are ready, and it's a work in progress. And we appreciate the members even mentioning that it was quite comprehensive what we have brought in. But as the minister promises, we'll come back as a work in progress report to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable, before I thank the Minister and everyone else, Deputy Minister and the DG, finally, there are two members who want to raise some follow-up questions, please, very shortly. Honourable Sheikh Imam and Honourable Van Staden. In that order, thank you.
Chair, can I also indicate that's a short question, please, Chair, after Honourable Sheikh.
I also indicated, please, Chair.
All right, I'm going to restrict it to the four, so it would be Honourable Sheikh Imam, Honourable Van Staden, Honourable Sukacha, and Honourable Wilson. Shortly, please. Very short. Please keep it to one or two short questions. No comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Very, very quickly, Minister, you say that the executive, but that's just the point, because it is a member of the executive that gave you authority. And lastly, I won't go into the others, I've got based on time. I wanted to know whether there are others in the department, and like you say, separation of powers, others in the department that may have known that these things were going, something irregular were going, based on the fact initially the department even indicated you did not have the resources for this kind of thing. Now, did anybody else then know about it and did not highlight it and did not report it and allowed this thing to continue? So I'm trying to establish if there's anybody directly or indirectly knew about this irregularity that was taking place, did nothing about it. It cost us a lot of money, waited for the Auditor General, so that even they should be brought to book. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Much appreciated. I will be very quick. We know what's going to the process, which is going to happen to the officials now, but I think the million-dollar question is, and I hope that the minister can answer this question, is what actions will this ministry and the presidency, for instance, take against the former ministers, Willie McKinsey? I think that's an important question which we need an answer on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, mine is just an interest on a question asked by Honorable Geller. That question has not been answered on what is the process going to be on officials that are not in the Department of Health that are implicated by the report. Are they going to follow the same charge sheet by the Department of Health, or are they going to be charged by their respective departments where they are? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Geller.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to turn on my camera because of communication problems. But just simply, Chair, and I have raised this in the chat group, Minister, please can we have your commitment that the SIU reports for the other provinces where there are a lot of people also implicated gets released and dealt with quickly, and the names of those people involved in those reports also dealt with speedily. That we cannot continue with this situation. We need to know who's involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Minister.
Well, thank you, Chair. I'll ask again, Dr. Crisp, just to explain about the other officials in other departments. In terms of Honourable Sheikh Imam, whether there are any other people in the department who would have known, one would only know this from the processes. Firstly, the earlier report from the forensic auditors, the Ngubane report, and also the SIU. I believe that it's only when you follow who had to say what that you can be able to say whether there were other people who are not necessarily being fingered. So without that, I think we have to rely on that. And if there is some suspicion, honorable members now have the report. So if there's a view that there seem to be some people who, as you read the report, it's surprising that they are not being followed, I think that's a matter which SIU could be followed to say, but why didn't they follow up in terms of this apparent information? Otherwise, without that, it's very difficult to get know. In terms of the former minister, Honorable Van Staden, now, as I think, I can't remember who mentioned earlier on, as political heads and executive authorities, our risk are two. One is at the political level to suffer the consequences, and secondly, it is in terms of also criminally. Those are the only two kind of areas of accountability. We know that in terms of the political accountability, the former minister has taken accountability in terms of resigning. What would be remaining now, depending, and that's really out of our hands, it would be whether in terms of the SIU having referred some matters to the NPA, whether there is a view from those authorities that they find him to be answerable now from the law enforcement direction. So that's really, but as not being an official and a public servant, the provisions of the Public Service Act and Labor Relations apply only to public servants. So I think honorable members are familiar with that. So substantively, therefore, it's actually political consequences and also criminal consequences, which are outside the purview of the management processes of consequences in the department. I think I've already dealt with the issue of, Dr. Chris will deal with those of other departments. The Honorable Wilson, the reports of the SIU in other provinces, we would really have to just understand, but learning from this process, because the president is the one who signs the proclamation, one would believe that the reports would go to the president, who will forward those reports to the premiers directly. In terms of as a national minister, whether one has a particular authority in terms of access to those reports, I will have to be guided by our legal advisors, including the state law advisors in terms of, but just from this experience, one is not very sure that it would be something except by persuasion, one to the president and also to the premiers. But I can come back to you with more clearer understanding of that process. I must admit that at this stage, in terms of provincial investigations, I'm not totally very clear except that because of the proclamations by the president, they would definitely first go to him. And then I believe in most cases, then he would forward also those reports to the premiers with the directive of the kind of corrective action. But I think once that happens, we would, if it's a health department, I'm sure we would be also entitled to access to those reports. But one will have to just give you that as a preliminary view, but we'll come back with more clearer indications once we have been advised on the proper legal situation. Dr. Crisp, on the other officials.
Thank you very much, Minister. Thank you, Chair. Sorry, I forgot to respond to this. Yesterday I was in communication with the three accounting officers of the departments concerned. The one is the government printers, the other is Department of Agriculture, Rural and Land Affairs, and the third one is the GCIS. What will happen is I will follow up. I've asked the investigators to communicate, to assist me with formulating a letter that explains what we believe the charges to be. It's not obligatory for those accounting officers to follow our process, but the letters that we will submit to them probably on Monday morning will explain the process that we are following and invite them to allow the disciplinaries of the officials that are in those departments to follow the same disciplinary process. There's indication from them that there's merit in that because there's already a continuity of understanding of the content of the investigations. But we will finalize that on Monday or at latest Tuesday next week. Thank you.
Very much. To the Minister, the Deputy Minister, to Dr. Nicholas Crisp and the rest of the team from the NDOH for the presentation. Also to the members for their willingness to attend the meeting on a Friday night, understanding the urgency of the matter. Just on a closing note, please be reminded that the program, parliamentary program, restarts on the 4th of November. There is a program that has been agreed to, and that we will be dealing with the annual reports of the department and its entities. So you would certainly get another opportunity to hear what the progress has been in the department. So on that note, again, thank you very much. And this meeting is then adjourned.
Goodbye, Chair.
Well,
goodbye. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair.